Right. Well, I was going to reply to.
Good afternoon, everybody. How we doing? This is Andy of the Andy Demandy Show, and I know that Amanda is here.
Amanda, are you here? I'm here, darling.
We're here at our new Monday time slot around noontime, I guess it is here, 8 p.m. in the U.K., and it's 3 p.m. in the Eastern Daylight Time, where I believe also, according to the board here, Cornette Butler is with us, our show coordinator. Is that right?
Hey, he is here. Hey, Mr. Butler.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. How you doing, Andy and Amanda?
We're doing fine, man. Doing great. Had a great weekend, you know, coming off a good time here. And, you know, life is good. Well, we missed Amanda on Friday.
Oh, God, I missed you guys. What a fiasco that was. It seriously was. I was panicking so much. So I don't know if our listeners knew about the situation. But, yeah, my nephew was he's only like 2.5. And he walked into the kitchen and said, my nose is hurting. And he started crying. I'm like, what happened? I put something up my nose. I said, what did you put up your nose? He said, a little blue ball. And I thought, there's no blue ball in the house.
No.
So I got the tweezers. I had to get my mother involved. She was like holding his head back, and you know, we was trying to see if there was anything up there. Oh, it was crazy. He was a mess. He was crying and saying it was hurting, and so I was, you know, legs wobbly, everything. I was like, oh my god. So yeah, and unfortunately, I just couldn't make the show. So it was a crazy situation.
Yeah. The funny thing is, so I didn't get your I got your message obviously, but I didn't get it till like late. I actually didn't look. And I didn't get your message.
Oh.
So in the live broadcast, Amanda's going
to
be joining us any second, any minute here. And go on. I wait for Amanda Love. Amanda Love will be joining us, and then around 3/4 of the way through the show.
Yeah, oh.
I think maybe the last 5 minutes.
I'm still waiting on Amanda.
Oh my goodness!
I couldn't believe my eyes.
I couldn't. I saw the message, and then so what I did, what we ended up with the miraculous invention of modern technology and radio production, we were able to edit the show out, which was most of it because I was always saying Amanda's going to be joining.
Yeah.
So actually, what we hear in the show, in the podcast or Friday's broadcast is, hey, Andy here, Andy and Amanda, we're waiting for Amanda, she'll be joining us here in a minute. And then, goodbye, folks, it's been great seeing you. I know Amanda couldn't make it today. Everything else got cut out because I kept saying, well, Amanda's going to be joining us.
Oh, no.
So I say hi, then I say goodbye, and that was Friday's show. But it's one of the most popular shows so far. I said nothing, and they loved it.
No respect at all.
You know what I mean?
Guys, what am I going to do with you? What am I going to do with you?
Needless to say.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
Whoa. You meant it
soft. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, I'm sorry about that. Wow, that's crazy. Oh, it's so good to be back, though. I always miss being on this show so badly when I'm not on here. I really do. It's like...
I miss it. What I find myself doing is walking around all day long playing audio clips from the show.
Excellent.
You know? Well, really?
What I say is what I say. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, I'm going to whoop you. You guys are not serious.
Oh,
and wait till I start
it.
Singing The Wizard of Oz. Hey, well, speaking of audio clips from the show... we had this thing on the show we do. It's called What the People Say. I have this intro for that with reverb and echo and stuff, but I'm not going to play that. I don't know if you know or not, but Rachel Maddow was sued, a while back, by a supposed news organization called OAN, which is nothing more than a bunch of depressed Trumpies who are still pissed that Trump never won the election. He's the most disrespected, most ridiculous, most self-centered, most corrupt, most impossible, most dangerous president we've ever had in our history.
Yeah.
And they're still wondering why he lost and they still won. So they still promote that fact. And so they sued Rachel Maddow when she claimed that the Russians were behind the news organization. And I kind of record. I got a whole conversation featuring a whole bunch of people about that – about that lawsuit. We went out in the streets and interviewed a bunch of people to see what the feelings were about that conversation, about that lawsuit, and here it is on the Andy Demandia Show. Let's take a listen.
Fantastic.
Well, here's a fun story. OAN, the alleged news network that's just a bunch of Trump bumpers, got very angry at MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. Apparently, on the air, Rachel said of some of their reporting that it was simply paid Russian propaganda. This made OAN extremely angry, and they denied every bit of it. So you know what they did? They slapped Rachel with a $10 million defamation lawsuit. Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, unfortunately, they lost that lawsuit. Now they have to pay Rachel Maddow $250,000. I love it when Trump humpers lose.
The Japanese are involved here.
Everything else after that is anticlimactic. Okay? Okay?
It's a disgrace what happened, frankly. A real disgrace.
We were talking about what was going on there, but also what was going on in the world.
And I would love to be involved and have a relationship with any woman that's willing to have a relationship with me.
He's always tried to make the conduct of the press the issue instead of his own conduct.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Come to see. Look, I have to see. No, I'm not going to just say
tick-tock, tick-tock.
I think what you just said is very important.
It was really complicated.
This is deadly stuff.
You snotty little bastard.
Mm-hmm.
I love their opinions.
Wow.
I gotta admit.
So you got here on the Andy Demandia Show. You get to the facts here. You know what I mean? This is like
absolutely, I love their honesty. You know.
Yeah.
You keep it real.
They keep it real. Yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm. And you think it might have been easier to go out in the street and get those interviews? Man, I got to tell you, worked my little butt off doing that. You know, getting all those interviews, out with my microphones and my studio setup.
So impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, did you get everybody to shout orgasm?
I was the only one who shouted that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
A big one.
How did that go down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's
a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a lot of people to shout it, but not
Republicans love it.
They do. I got them to shout it. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They.
Oh man. So what's going on, guys? What's going on?
Too much.
Well,
a lot.
I had a great weekend. I had my brothers and everybody over. We had a little grilling and, you know, cook out and just drink a few beers and everything.
Nice.
And, you know, I miss you guys. And man, I'm on the show on a Monday. Can you believe it?
Yeah, how'd you work that out? Yeah.
I don't know, Andy. I just basically just say, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Love you, darling.
Yeah, just to
I really miss you guys. I was like, man, I was definitely I'd text you guys or call you guys and like, how's the show going on and everything. That last show, it was the scammer show. It was kind of wild. I liked it. But
oh, wasn't
like,
that great?
Wow.
You know, let's call scammer. I want to go. You know what? I think we should call another scammer. Do you think we should try to get another scammer?
Go for it.
You know what I mean? Let me find one. I got to start. Hey, calling. I'm looking for a scammer. Anybody know one? Let me see. I think I got one here.
Yeah, I got one.
Pardon?
That's called the juice.
The juice man.
Yeah, I'm gonna try one. I'm gonna try a scammer. I think this is a scammer. If not, we'll just. We'll invite whoever we end up with. We'll just invite them on the show, whoever, if it's the wrong number. Hey!
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
You're our random caller of today on the Andy Demandia Show. How do you feel about that?
Let's see what happens.
My goodness.
These scammers.
That was the crazy show, Cornell. It was
I know,
so
man.
Crazy.
I was like, oh my gosh.
The abuse that guy threw. I was sat here just like speechless. So what do I say
like
to this dude? What do I say?
He sounded like he was from Jamaica.
That's what I said to Andy, but I don't want, you know, I didn't want to offend anybody by declaring that because, you know, what do I know? He could be from somewhere else, but...
No, actually, his accent and the way he was speaking, it was like he was speaking patois. So he was from...
Yeah.
Oh.
He sounded like he was from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Maybe he was. Yeah, because a lot of these calls that you get, publishers, clearinghouse, sweepstake giveaways, and all that stuff are all and IRS agents and Social Security. They're putting a freeze on your Social Security. Those types of calls. A lot of them are generated out of Pakistan area. And, so I just assumed that that was too. But you know, maybe it was like in the Caribbean somewhere down there. You know, may have very well been. But I may have another. You guys just go ahead and talk. I'm going to find another. I think I can get another scam artist here. I must have a billion of them stored in my phone. For some reason, they have to call me.
Unfortunately, there tends to be a lot of scammers from like India and
India. That's
also,
another one. Yeah, India.
In the UK.
What's going on?
Tell me. What's
oh
going on
my
UK
goodness!
Only.
So now we've got. We've got the army driving a lot of our fuel tanks to get them to petrol stations. There's like 20% of the southeast that has been without fuel, which is crazy.
Really?
Absolutely crazy. Yeah. It's been crazy. And people have been attacking each other with knives, and fights have been breaking out at these gas stations, you know.
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious. Yeah. The ambulance services have been struggling to get fuel. So, yeah, it's turned into one big nightmare just from people panicking. They're allowed 30 pounds of fuel. That's sufficient enough until their next top-up. They shouldn't be, like, going over because they think suddenly there's going to be no more fuel anymore. If people stop panic buying, you know, they wouldn't have this situation. So, it's silly. It's so silly, the spin that we get ourselves into. You know, so there's been that going on, and that chaos is still crazy. Also, I've heard something really cool, actually. You know, so people suffer with severe depression and stuff, and they were saying that this volunteer signed herself up in the US, I think it was, for a brain implant that would lift severe depression. They said an electrical implant that sits in the skull and is wired to the brain can detect and treat severe depression. And U.S. scientists believe, after promising results with the first patient, that this is the way to go. Sarah, who is 36, had the device fitted more than a year ago and says it has turned her life around. It's a matchbox-sized pack that sits just underneath the skull and sends these electrical impulses through these little wires to the brain. They drilled holes into her skull while she was awake.
Oh my gosh,
that's pretty scary. That just freaks me out. But
oh
she said
gosh,
it's really, really, really helped her. Yeah, she's the first person to have this experimental therapy, and she
and
said
the
she
last
had a
person. No,
yeah, hopefully not. She's had a succession of failed treatments, including antidepressants and, you know, electroconvulsive therapy, and they just didn't do her any good. And she said the surgery may sound daunting, but the prospect of gaining any kind of relief was better than the darkness that she'd been experiencing. She had exhausted all possible treatment options, and her daily life became so restricted. She barely moved or did anything. And the surgery went really well, obviously. It's tucked, you know, beneath the skull, like I said. The procedure took a full working day and was done under general anesthetic. So she said when she woke up, she felt euphoric.
Thanks.
She said when the implant was first turned,
not a new brain. It's an implant, not a new.
Yeah,
brain.
No, it's an implant. Literally,
yeah.
The box
implant.
Sits just inside the brain, under the skull, and So those wires then. No, the wires then go to the brain and then trigger that part that gets experiences of depression. So they said when the implant was first turned on, her life took an immediate upward turn, and within weeks her suicidal thoughts disappeared. Be a lot of mind over matter as well, not just the electrical impulses. That could be the fact that she knows she's got this device in her, and you know the power of the mind is very incredible, so that could have been enough to just transform her whole life. So, yeah, she's saying it's fantastic. It's going really great. And I guess I see more people going for that in the future. A professor from London here in the UK said, although this kind of highly invasive surgical procedure would only ever be used in the most severe patients with intractable symptoms, it is an exciting step forward due to the bespoke nature of the stimulation. It is likely that if trialed in other patients, different recording and stimulation sites would be required, as the precise brain circuitry underlying symptoms probably varies between individuals. Well, I have no clue. I trust these scientists. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm surprised we haven't got to the core of what depression is. A lot of people claim to know what the core is, but I don't know. It feels like all these devices and medication, everything is just a way of masking the problem and not getting to the root of the problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes, I'm sorry.
What's that?
Go ahead.
No.
Sometimes I think people get depressed because they are good. Sometimes they do so much good for people. This is just my thinking. Do so much good for people, and people treat them so wrong, and they hold it in, and it makes them very depressed. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right, but some people just hold stuff in, and
yeah.
And they think about it, and it makes them depressed all day. Like, I would say bills, family members turning against them, or...
There's certainly various levels of depression. You know, I've had people come to me before and say, "Oh, you're depressed. You suffer depression." Oh God, I get depressed a lot too, and they kind of brush it off as if it's just, you know, oh, I've had a low day, a down day.
Yeah, well,
that's
clinical,
natural.
Clinical depression is not the same thing as somebody having a bad day and being depressed as a result of
that
bad day. It's actually a clinical diagnosis.
It's
it's like a disease. You know, it's a sickness.
Yeah,
And it needs to be treated pharmacologically or through counseling and or a combination thereof, I guess. And depression affects millions of people around the world. And it's not like I had a bad day, I'm depressed. Oh, I broke up with my girlfriend or my boyfriend or whatever, and I'm depressed. I got fired from my job, and it's depressing. I didn't get the financing for my house, and I'm depressed. You know, it's a totally, you know, clinical depression is not the same thing. And I think when people hear depression, they say, "What is this thing about depression?" You know, well, depression. You say, "You get over it." You know what I mean? But it's actually a clinical condition. It's not something you just get over. You know.
Yes, it's very true. It's like as you guys know, I experienced it myself from about, I think it was about 18 years old onwards, but I felt it building up before that because, you know, I lost a friend to suicide. I lost two family members within a week of each other who died. I lost another friend after that to suicide. And my job was really abusing me. I was working all these hours I shouldn't have been working and wasn't getting paid for it. And I had so many crazy things going on in my life at that point, and the weight of it just became all too much. I wasn't expressing, I wasn't talking to people about it, but I felt this emotional pain just build and build and build, and the mental tiredness that came with it, the physical tiredness, and eventually it just got to that breaking point where I felt like I couldn't take anymore, and I went into myself, I broke down, I couldn't leave the house, you know, It was a crazy experience in my life, and I guess I'm very grateful to be able to look back on that and say, wow, I made it through. And, you know, I gave up medication. I took it upon myself to stop because I got to the point where I recognized the medication wasn't helping me anymore. I took it for so many years, and it was just like, you know, it's not doing anything to me. What am I doing to my body by continuing to take this? And when I stopped taking the medication, I noticed I didn't feel any different off it as I did on it. So... That's when I clearly knew that medication was literally masking, putting a Band-Aid over the problem for so long to just give me some sort of quality of life. And what I really needed to do was go into myself and say, okay, what caused this in the first place? Visit those places within myself and try to work out why I felt that way. You know, really try and help myself with it all. And through that, it took time, but, you know, through that, I managed to get to a more saner place again. And... didn't feel all that weight as much. And the best way I think of describing it to people is like, when you come into this world, you're a blank canvas. And over time, when you're growing up and through your adulthood, you get layers of paint painted on that canvas all the time of your life story, different situations, different life experiences, different stages in your life. And eventually, you know, instead of wiping that slate clean, we end up building up all those layers of paint until the canvas just can't hold all that paint anymore. And depression is a way of stripping all of that back because it literally breaks you into what you feel is nothing, shuts you down.
That's good. We have a cure here. I just looked up the cure. for depression. Let me see. I've got, yeah, it's a, well, it's a lot, actually. It's a lot. But here's the, this keeps coming up, I guess. You depressed, then just do this.
You got to pick a pocket or two.
Oh, and I was thinking you were going to say the Andy and Amanda show.
Oh, my God, Andy, I feel better now. Thank you. Oh, I'm free. I'm free of depression.
But yeah, it is. We've addressed that with guests on the show in the past. We've talked about various levels and grades of depression and human motivation. And but sometimes, you know, when you have this overwhelming umbrella of you just can't get out of it. It's just how your brain is chemically wired, so to speak, and it affects your whole life. I mean, and people can. I mean, it's hard to imagine. Yes, me and my. You know, and I guess for many, I guess it's hard to imagine that life would be so bad that you would end your life because of depression. But we can't, if you're not there, you hear stories. We've all heard stories.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But if we're not there, you know. But yeah, it's, and you know, there's a lot. It's out there. It's in the open. People have talked about it. It's been the subject of many shows, of talk shows, of articles, of books. Of research papers written in journals of medicine and psychology and psychiatry, and
I think it's great that's being brought to light a lot more because, you know, being all over social media as much as I am, and, you know, I've had friends suffer with depression and I've shared my story with them, and, you know, the common theme is that nobody feels understood and everybody gets judged for having depression, like, oh, you're just weak, you know, you're pathetic, you know. Like when Robin Williams took his life for various reasons, he used drugs and alcohol, but he was also severely depressed. And Chester from Linkin Park, when he took his life, he was going through major depression. You know, so, you know, you got a lot of people, especially you notice it happens a lot within artists, people who are sensitive and creative. And I don't know why that is. It's almost like they've got that something about them that makes them more exposed to feeling and kind of just getting it, you know, with life, getting it, how to connect with that. And it's almost like that sensitivity opens you up for things like anxiety and depression because you're more exposed to the things in life that most people can just take on the chin. And I think, you know, it doesn't make you weaker or a bad person or anything like that. And it's so sad to know that people get judged so much, but it's being talked about more and more all the time. You know, there was a time when doctors used to say to me, you know, mindfulness didn't exist back then when I was experiencing it. And, you know, they offered me the option to speak to a counselor, and I did. And that did nothing for me because all I was doing was talking. The person was sat there in front of me nodding their head. And it was just like, there's nothing being given back to me as a reason why I'm going through this. I'm feeling heard by you, but it doesn't feel like it's shifting anything within me, the heaviness, you know, the struggle. And so it was like, here, have some medication. You know, this will help you. And I'm grateful for that medication. It carried me through so long for me to be able to get to the point where I could work it out and then eventually come off it myself. But it's a long process, and I think people need to be very compassionate towards those going through it. It's not an overnight thing that you can just snap out from. And we do need to be very caring when it comes to how we express to these people that have got depression, because you say something, it can push them over the edge, definitely. And unfortunately,
I have a sister that actually get depressed, and she calls me and I talk to her because she thinks that sometimes she thinks everybody against her. And then when she get out of it, she's a happy person. And the next day, she's like depressed, down. I'm like, dude, it's like, you okay? She's like, no, because I said, what's wrong? She said, I don't even know. I don't know. I'm like, I'm feeling bad. I try to talk to my sister all the time, every day. If I don't call her, just one day, she feels as though that I'm against her, which I don't love her anymore.
Oh, bless her. So,
It makes you feel insecure.
Sorry, darling.
My great aunt came up to me and said that she was very depressed. I asked her why, and she said,
such thing as a G spot.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, crap! Wow.
You didn't find it yet? She's all she is, Andy. She didn't find a G spot.
It's like, What does that G stand for? Gas spot? Oh, if you hit that spot, I'm going to break wind.
I wonder if there is. Is there? We know we never really talked about,
well,
you know.
Everybody say orgasm loud.
Yeah,
well,
there we go. Yeah.
They say there's one, and I know exactly where the spot is, if that helps.
But there is. So there's an internal G spot then. In the woman.
Yes. Yes, there
inside.
Is.
But it's hard.
Wow.
It's hard to find it. I guess you gotta.
It's
that. You know,
you're right, Cornel.
Do it right, eh?
You've got to be at an angle to reach that spot. And without getting too graphic, I guess the best position for that is from behind, simply because it's more towards the front of the lady's body, just inside. You kind of like, it's almost like, God, I can't believe I'm going to express this.
No, go ahead. You got us at the edge of our seats. Go ahead.
Okay. So, when you enter the woman's body, it's almost like from the front of the position, obviously, you're facing the woman. It's about about two and a half inches inside, but towards the front, so facing you, and you've almost got to get a hook angle to reach it. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, the better position to reach that spot would ideally be from behind because of the position and the angle and so on, blah blah blah. That would likely to hit it. So
and I
it's
get
kind
that
of like
must, yeah
yeah, it's kind of like a spongy. Area.
Wow. So there's actually a different texture there
it is slightly different in texture. But you kind of
Amanda, they said men they said men have a G spot too.
Oh really?
Yeah, if you look up, they say a men have a spot that a lot of that if you stimulate the men's P spot that's directed in the anal, it'll cause an orgasm for a man.
All right.
No.
Look it up. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
I wonder. Yeah. Anyway.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I hear Captain Kirk is going into space.
Yes. I like how you changed the subject. I love it. Yes, Captain Kirk, who's 90 years old, is Jeff Bezos, I believe, is sending him into space. He's 90 years old. The former captain of the Starship Enterprise. No, he was the actor who played the former captain, Captain Kirk. He's going to go up in Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos' space machine. It was announced Monday, and he's 90 years old. He'll be going up with our own Amanda Love, and
yes,
no, he'll be going up with. Hey, someday you never know. He's going up with Audrey Powers, who is the Blue Origin Vice President of Mission and Flight Operations, and Chris Bogian and Glenn DeVaris. I don't know who they are. They probably paid for the ride. I don't really know. But it'd be incredible to have Captain Kirk go into space. You know, I'm like, well, I'm excited about it. I'm so excited about that, you know?
Oh, yeah, that'd be so cool. I reckon he should wear the uniform from Star Trek.
Yeah.
That would just be epic.
Yeah, oh, he should. He absolutely should, you know?
Yes.
But he's been you ready for this? Shatner has been pretending to live in space since the 1960s. House is you know, he went on to star in seven Star Trek films.
Wow.
He floats around weightless in his house. His house is looking at the bridge of the Enterprise. His TV screen is up there, and he's looking, you know, he's talking to, like, alien things all the Yes. Incredible, isn't it? Incredible.
You see that TV show where he talks about, like, strange phenomenon?
Yeah, he's the producer of a show called The Unexplained, which is it's on the History Channel, and that explores the unexplainable, including aliens, you know. the Klingons and so forth.
Such a good show.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
He did a good job.
It's pretty cool.
What were those guys that was on Star Trek with the big forehead? I mean, they had like a big giant forehead with
oh,
like
yeah,
a
I remember
mountain
that.
On top.
I forget the name of that
yeah.
alien, but I do remember them. The New Shepard, Flight 18, now departing, gate 3, tickets, passes. The New Shepard will be lifting off for all to see where it's carried on October 12th. It'll take 11 minutes, and, you know, it'll be past the Carmen line, which is the, what do they call the Cayman? Carmen. I forget. Anyway, it's the internationally recognized boundary of space, which is 50 miles up or 60 miles up, one or the other. I've heard both. But what they do is they go up to just beyond the boundary of what's defined as space, and they float around just for a couple of minutes and come back down, which is really not the same level of civilian spaceflight as our last four civilian astronauts went up on the, what was it called, the Inspiration, the fundraiser for the St. Jude Hospital, which raised over $200 million for St. Jude. And
wow.
These folks went up. They orbited the Earth the highest any human being has orbited or been away from the planet Earth's surface since the Apollo missions went to the moon. They were over 100 miles higher than the space station. And they
wow.
spent 3 days. They spent 3 days in space. And what an adventure! What a trip! My God! I mean, what an amazing and what's happening now? When you're starting to see, you know, the William Shatners and the Citizens and the, you know, and also a young woman went up, Haley, I forget her last name. Who was a physician's assistant at a St. Jude's hospital, was the first, and she's 29 years old, making her the youngest person in history to travel in space, but also the first person to have a prosthetic. She has a rod in her leg, and she suffered cancer. She was a patient at St. Jude's as a kid. And for her to go
Ooh.
Into space and overcome everything she's overcome, you know, and having the international recognition that these four civilians, and of course they went through 5 months of training, you know, of astronaut
yeah.
training, really. You know, they were in one room getting trained, and professional astronauts were in the next room getting trained, you know.
Right.
So they're civilians, but they did become, you know, they went through the same training protocols as astronauts do. So even though they're civilians, not professional astronauts, when they finished the training program and they went into space, they are in fact astronauts. It's not like they just swept four people off the street, put in the spaceship, and sent them up, which might be interesting to do. At some point. Speaking of space flight and weightlessness, I had this discussion last night with myself. I said, "Self, can you imagine what it would be like for a pregnancy to occur in a weightless environment?"
Ooh.
In two respects, the formation of the human body itself, which I guess is more controlled by DNA and genes, so I don't think that gravity has any real impact that I know of anyway on that. But here's what is interesting when you think about it. About a month before delivery, the fetus rotates, goes from a head-up position, you know, facing the chin of the mother, to a head-down facing the floor position for preparation for birth. And and a lot of that, the reason why that is gravity. I mean, the baby flips, but if it were weightless, would it flip? So what that would lead me to believe is that there's going to be a point in time, maybe in our lifetime, I doubt it, but, you know, it would be wonderful if it was, where a baby is actually born in space. And what would have to happen, I think, is they'd have to do a C-section. You know, many women have, what they know they're going to have issues delivering for one reason or another. They schedule your baby's going to be born on November 15th, and we'll schedule the C-section then, and bam, and of course, there are millions and millions and millions of people are delivered that way, or come into this world via C-section. So that's probably what they'll do. But can you imagine an infant who is born in a weightless environment and spends maybe the first 3 months or first couple of years, whatever it might be, on a space voyage?
Yeah.
In a weightless environment. I mean, babies learn how to crawl. They learn how to walk. They learn how to maneuver their extremities, all fighting gravity. You know, when a baby lifts up their arm, they're, I can lift my arms up. Why does it not want to, you know, I have to move. I have to move my muscles to get my arm to come up. You know, there's always a conflict with gravity. Actually, everybody has a conflict with gravity every single day, really, all of our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's actually, we do. We all of us do. So imagine what would happen if an infant was born into a weightless environment, and all the research that can be evaluated as a result of that birth, of that kid coming into the first. There's going to be a time when Neil Armstrong was the first to step foot on the moon. Haley, excuse me for not remembering her last name, was the first woman with a prosthetic. I forget the woman. I could see her face. The first woman astronaut. The first black astronaut. The first. No, John Glenn, a Carpenter. The first baby born in space. That's going to happen someday. You know, that's going to happen someday.
That's
incredible. Think about that. Just a weightless environment, totally weightless. They do the C-section. Baby comes out and starts floating around. Hey, this is pretty cool. And how about the baby in the womb, in the uterus, in a weightless environment?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What amazing research. That is volumes of research in terms of our own development, how we come to be, physical beings. Wow. Anyway, I get.
Can you imagine being given the choice one day for birthing? Because obviously it's like birthing at home, birthing in a pool, and then saying to you, oh, you can do it, you know, like floating if you wish. That would be just like, well, let's do it.
And that pregnancy, you know, first of all, I think sex and space, and I've actually read up on this. Sex and space would be difficult.
Yes.
I wondered. God, I was going to, if anybody wanted to do any research in the matter, I would. Anyway. you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my
God. Yeah. track my
lesson.
Baby.
Andy,
but anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. No, you go ahead. I wanted to ask you, in the future, you think men are going to be able to have babies?
Well, I think men are going to have babies. The only thing I can say, let me think about that for a second. Let me just put that through my thought processes. And you know what? Here's what I have to say about that.
Shut up and drink your gin!
Yeah.
that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, what was it, Junior, where he had the baby? I remember that years ago. That was funny.
Yeah.
So far in this show, we've discussed
doggy style for sure.
Doggy style.
We've discussed
men having babies, babies being delivered in space, depression. You know, all over the map here. Now it's time to see if we can catch a scammer. Let's see if we can make this work.
Let's do
you,
it.
The phone number you dialed is unreachable. Please check your phone number and dial again.
Oh, don't you just hate that?
Yeah, okay, they disconnected it.
Hey, Andy, call the juice man.
No.
Sure. Please. Just for the fuck.
Sometimes it can be a quickie. Most of the time, women do need a longer time to have foreplay and a longer time before they reach actually an orgasm. So it depends on the person.
You know, next time I have sex, I guess the next scheduled time is 7 years from now, I'm going to explore.
Wow.
You know, it ain't easy being me. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, at least that's kind of short for you. That's good. That's at least you got 7 years. I got 20.
Yeah. You can prep, you know, work out for it, you know, plan the perfect place, time, and angle. I hear.
Oh, my God.
So Facebook.
You said blow up dial. You said find the right blow up dial. Which, no, you didn't say that, did you?
No, I didn't know. But that's obviously an option for people. what's going on with Facebook and WhatsApp and everything, huh? It's been down for like 3 hours.
Really?
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, obviously Facebook Messenger because they're all part of the same company. Yeah, they're all down. They've been down for since 4:45 my time. So that's done for nearly what?
I can't follow the logic on that at all.
I
was sitting there. I was about to go and buy a new phone just because I wanted to post up some stuff for our show and program and promote. And I'm like, yo, why can't I get on Facebook? Why can't I get on Instagram? I'm like, what's going on?
I know. I text my sister. I said, just to let you know, the social media, nothing's down at the moment, apart from Twitter, obviously, because I'm not part of Facebook. But she's like, you know, I've been checking my phone network and everything for about half hour. Now I know the reason why.
Let's see what
she
says.
Thank you.
I was about to buy a new phone.
Yeah.
Let's check this out.
This issue is under investigation.
It is. And they're claiming at the moment that they're not given any specific reason as to why they've got this outage, but they're working on it, of course.
This
so.
Is interesting, though. The Facebook stock dropped like a missile. Like a missile this morning.
Yes.
Like a missile. Speaking of stock, let's see where we're at. Mm. A lot of followers of the show know we're into the AMC, the perspective, the predicted stock squeeze. I want to talk about that for a couple minutes. But let's see where AMC right now is at 30s. Ooh, it's going down. Yeah, keep going. 36.978.
Yeah.
I sold a bunch of it, but I bought back in. I bought another 100 shares or something like that. I bought less than 100 shares. I bought another 50 shares, 60, something like that. I've got 100 and some shares now. I had way more than that, and it was coming. I had way more than that, and when it was coming down, I sold it. Not that I was worried about it coming down. It's just that I wanted to get it to another number so I can spend that same dollar and buy more shares with the same buck. You know, I want the volume of shares.
Smart.
But the last price change, AMC is down $1.48. Or 3.86% for today lost that, 36.978. And here's the deal. As we've talked about, you know, usually it's Fridays, but we didn't get to do that this Friday because it wasn't with us. But
Okay.
No, but Lee Van Dusen, who normally comes on the show to talk mm-hmm. about stocks, investing, and squeezes, couldn't join us Friday. So, and not only that, but as I said earlier, I had to cut the whole Friday show out because the whole show is me saying Amanda's going to join us any minute. Anyway,
oh my goodness, that's
Ford,
so funny.
Here's what I'm doing real well. Ford Motor is up $1.25 just today, right? I was waiting for Ford Motor to come down to 7. It was fluttering around 12 or so. I said, come on down. Because I was going to buy more shares at $7. I figured, it's got to come down. Come on, the automotive, you know, it's got to come down. There's none of the car dealers have inventory. You know, there's 77 ships sitting offshore right now with car parts and automotive supplies, computer parts and chips and supplies and clothes and all this stuff. 77 ships sitting off the coast of Los Angeles right now, all anchored out. Because they can't get them all into port because, you know, during COVID, nobody's producing anything or delivering anything. Suddenly, bam, production's up and all these companies, these manufacturers that exist throughout the Pacific Rim are making goods again. Bam, United States, a huge customer. And they all send them over on a boat. 78 boats sitting out there right now. Can't get into port. And there's, you know, the merchant marines or the equivalent thereof around the world are sitting, you know, living on these boats for weeks at a time trying to get into the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles. But I figured Ford Motor Company – you know, there's no inventory. You know, that's a big thing about car lots right now. They can't get a car. And nobody's got any inventory. And the dealers that have inventory are marking their cars up. That's getting a little better than it was over the summer. Anyway, so Ford was floating around. They're floating around $12, $13. And I said, come on, go 7. It just wasn't happening. So what I did, I bought it. And it's up at $14,285 right now. And going to go up and up and up. Ford's coming out with the Lightning F-150, which is going to be more capable than the, but look like an F-50. It's not going to look like a spaceship like the Tesla Cybertruck. I'm a big fan of Tesla, so don't get me wrong. But it's going to have more capability. It's going to have more load carrying capability. It's going to have over-the-air updates. It's going to have full navigation driver assist like a Tesla's that you heard about, the drive-by-yourself capability for the most part. You got to keep your hand on the wheel. But anyway, and when that comes out, it's called the Lightning F-150. Everybody look it up. I'm not going to start, you know, getting into it. But look, that vehicle comes out. It's going to give the Tesla Cybertruck a run. Of course, Tesla has 6 billion, with a B, mile advantage over any vehicle manufacturer that makes electric vehicles. 6 billion miles of data they collected. They know the ins and outs, what it can do, what it can't do, the best way to do this, how to use your cameras, how to your neural network.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got so much data that for another manufacturer, who I don't care, there's several, Raven, Neo, you know, there's a lot of them that are starting to come up on Tesla's curtails, you know, but they're not going to be able to to compete with them. But anyway, Ford, when that F-150 comes out, watch their stock. So I bought it, and I'm sitting here. That ain't going anywhere. GameStop was another one that had a short squeeze, and I'm taking a beating on that. Not a real big beating. I'm losing. I bought it at 197. It's at 173. That's okay. It'll come back up. JetBlue. Cool. Who would ever think that an airline stock would you know, man, whoa, right? Well, I'm a big fan of JetBlue. I got a lot of friends. A big part of my social life is with JetBlue pilots out here in California. I was a pilot. A lot of you know I used to be a pilot as well, and I got a lot of friends in that biz. And here in California, I've got a lot of friends that have been with JetBlue forever and a day. And I know what they're doing and where they're going and how they're developing. And I bought JetBlue, done real well with that one. And even though they're down slightly today, you buy when it's red. But you don't just buy anything that's red. You do your research. You find it. You know, you want to buy when the stock's going down, 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 bam, buy it, and then sit on it. It ain't going to go down forever.
Yeah.
Right?
But
if you want to get in and get out of a stock, you that's when you really got to do your homework. You get on the Yahoo Finance pages. You go to the research and news and analysis of various companies, what they're doing, who they bought, who they merged with, who appointed a new CEO, who came out with a new biotech, the latest thing in cancer and this and that, and bam. And when that news comes out, boom, it begins to elevate, and then it kind of goes down after the dust settles, But you piggyback that ride up. You get on, it's going to go green. Bam, bam, ride it on up.
Yeah.
Watch it for a couple minutes and sell, and it'll come down, settle. Boom, make your money, get out, go enjoy a nice dinner somewhere,
Yes.
But you can do that. You can do that in the market if you don't spend that much time. I don't know why. A lot of people have other things to do with their time, but I don't. So
that's pretty cool, though, Andy. That's pretty cool.
Actually, that could be a day job.
Yeah, it could, actually.
A lot of people ask me because, I've had a lot of careers in my life and friends I've had for a long time call me, so what are you doing now? I said, well, now I'm a day trader. Oh, really? Doesn't surprise me. Day trader. Yeah. But anyway.
I bet there's a lot of conspiracy going on right now. I can almost hear people's brains ticking away. Because when things like this happen with big social media sites, like, especially when it goes down for as long as it has, that there's some sort of conspiracy behind it. And I know Facebook's been in the news the past, 24 hours with a whistleblower coming forward about how harmful Facebook can be, that they're not applying enough to stop hate and misinformation on Facebook, and they're denying it, saying, well, yeah, we are working everything we can. And basically, the whistleblower was saying that they prematurely turned off their safeguards that were designed to thwart misinformation in a money-making move that contributed to the deadly invasion of the U.S. Capitol.
Really?
Yeah, and it goes deeper than that. So she's saying that there's this evidence that they're trying to hide. So, when something like this happens within 24 hours of this news being spread everywhere about this whistleblower, it's, you can hear my talk, can't you? The idea of this, that taking everything down for a specific reason, but you never know, do you? You never know with these things.
You never know what's really going on. I don't have any Facebook. I don't play that game. But what got us all into it here, and the whole crew here of the Andy Mander Show is on this. We became what they call Ape Nation, part of Ape Nation. We're all bought into that stock shorting. And I guess for those of you who aren't familiar, shorting a stock is a strategy where one investor, not us, we're not shorting, we're not betting options here, we're not borrowing and gambling on where a stock might land. But for those who do, which is primarily the large hedge fund companies, it's somewhat of a risky strategy, I think, where one investor borrows shares of stock and immediately they sell them in hopes that the price will go down. If the price goes down, he can buy the shares back at a lower price and profit from the price change. But if the price goes up, then he's in trouble because he still owes those shares of stock to the person that he borrowed them from. And that would mean that they have to pay or buy those shares at that higher price and take that loss. And the higher stock price goes, the higher it goes, the more money they lose. So in this case, the AMC, what we've been talking about mostly on our Friday show, it's there's a short squeeze that's being predicted because the interest is the most shorted stock in history, You know, it's never – it's gigantic. That's why it's creating all this excitement in the investment world.
Yeah.
And what happens when that occurs when other investors realize what the short seller is doing, they attempt to buy many of those remaining shares. If they can buy all the remaining shares of the stock, then the short seller will, in theory anyway, be forced to pay whatever price the investor wants. Example, if I sell Amanda a car and she now has the title of that car, and I came back to Amanda, I said, I want to buy my car back. And she said, well, it's $10,000 more than I bought it from. And I'd say, what? What's the price? If you want your car, then that's the price you got to pay. And it's similar to that. It's a little more complicated, but for purpose of illustration. So it's kind of like, GameStop just had a short, you know, we all heard, it was at least a lot of us heard anyway, you know, all of a sudden GameStop, this shopping mall chain of stores where people buy video games and game machines, and everybody's downloading everything. Everything's on the internet, even your TV, boom, everybody communicates, everything's downloaded. You know, you don't go to, it's rare that you go and buy a game. People do, obviously, but GameStop, it's about to not exist anymore.
Well, yeah.
All the video players said, we're going to keep them in business, and they went on and they bought all these shorted shares. And they own those shares. So suddenly,
good for them, I say.
AMC stock jumped over 500% from $2 a share to over $10 per share during the month of January, this last January. It jumped another 500 to $50 in May to June. Remember when it hit $52, I think it was? So it really does make this an interesting proposition to get involved in. You know, it really does. You know, we'll see what happens. You know, it's really funny because we're talking about AMC. Oh, my God, there's going to be a squeeze. People buy. AMC lost $4.59 billion in 2020 and has more than a $10 billion debt on its balance sheet. So, you know, during the peak of the pandemic, who's going to go to the movies? So it looked like that was the nail in the coffin. However, because of these retail investors that now own 80% of the shares of AMC, millions of dollars were invested. And all the hedge fund managers and the people who control and maneuver the big players, the Wall Street players, they were saying, hey, let's borrow these shares. We'll bet the short. And when it goes out of business or hits our price of $6 or $2 a share, we gain. But as I just said, if the price goes up, and who's dictating that upward spiral? We are. We're holding those. So it really doesn't matter what price of the stock is in terms of their business day to day, because eventually all those short shares are going to have to be liquidated, canceled, and paid for. So we're just waiting for that to happen. Just wait for it. Doesn't matter. You know, so hey, it's 40 today, 50 tomorrow, 30 the next day. Believe me, when that squeeze takes place, we're all gonna know about it.
Oh,
so anyway,
yes.
That's how that works. I just wanted to, you know.
No, I'm glad you explained that. That's very, very good. Very good. Yeah. Thank you for that, Andy.
You know.
He's such a wise guy. Such a wise guy.
You guys are not serious.
Oh, we don't.
Oh, man. I can't believe how quickly this... Is it just me or this hour has just flown?
What hour? Which one?
The one we're currently in.
Oh. Well,
don't ask
know.
Me. Ask China that question.
Okay. China.
We're definitely going to be asking China soon if this Facebook and Instagram with that don't happen.
I think I found out what's going on. I just looked it up. Wait a minute. Here we go. It's
okay.
A new political regime is planned.
Yes.
Maybe it's all part of the Build Back Better scheme where Facebook have decided, well, actually, we're going to join in with this and make Facebook, you know, how it should be. Yeah, that'd be good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amanda, look for them black vans to pull up in front of your house.
Oh, I will, darling. I had an experience last night. A weird experience. So
really?
I came up to my room. I was absolutely, you know, shattered. I thought, right, I'm going to chill out on the bed. I literally laid down on the bed. Obviously, I didn't go to sleep or anything. I was literally sat up. I had my phone in my hand. I looked out the window, and there was this line of lights in the sky just going across these houses right by my house. And I'm like, what the hell is that? It looked like a strip light of LED lights, big. And it was going over these houses. I got up. I was like, what the hell is that? And I watched it go right over in the distance until it became that small that it looked like a star. And this thing was changing color. And as it was going over, a plane came over right overhead. So, you know, over the years, you get to spot what satellites look like, how they move. We live near an airport, so I've seen all types of, like, military and normal planes come over. I can pretty much suss out who they are and what they are and all that kind of thing. I've seen drones in the air, so I've seen the lights on them and how they maneuver and they, you know,
let me
lights.
Look that up. And this happened outside your town, your home, right?
This was last night.
Let me look it up. Here we go. Let me see UFO spottings, strange astronomical sightings. Oh, got it. Here it is. Oh yeah, you're not the only one who saw it. It was
Here
I come to save the day.
I knew it. It was Mighty Mouse.
That's what it was. Excellent. He used to pop that. I want to see him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got all the answers here on the Andy Manor Show. Hey, folks, we forgot to give our number out because, you know, we don't get that many calls, but we're going to try to fix that down the road because we need to get this show, you know, more popular. We're working on it. We are working on it, folks. But the number here is 515-605-9888. And you can also look the show up here. All our archives, we're over 300 and some shows. We have over 1,300 downloads or something like that on the podcast by itself. Forget what we have here on Blog Talk Radio, which is a whole other number. You know, we have 7, I think, on Blog Talk. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. AndyAndAmandaShow.com. Email the show, contact us, let us know your thoughts. If you'd like to come on the show as a guest, you want to come on and just talk to us about what you'd like to talk about. Maybe you know somebody who might want to come on as a guest. You know, we're open ears and always like to share opinions, ideas, thoughts, and so forth. And you do that by emailing us at AndyAndAmandaShow@gmail.com. And what's our Facebook wouldn't matter, Instagram wouldn't matter right now because we don't know
because that's just not working.
Yeah, that, but what the hell? Let's move on to something else.
Okay,
yeah, but you can find us on Twitter. Twitter is the only one that's working at the moment. So Andy and Amanda two.
Yeah.
Two for you.
Two for you.
What was I going to say, Amanda?
Maybe that it's the end of the show?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No? Okay.
Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Well, I think...
The way to keep it both going is to have naughty sex. Yeah. Great to have loving sex, but you've got to have naughty sex to shock the brain into setting off those sex hormones.
Oh.
Mm.
That's some advice.
Wow.
Thank you.
Hey, Andy. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about your gig that you had in California.
Oh. He's very eager, you can tell.
Oh. Hey.
The host.
I performed in South Pasadena. Well, South Pasadena on Thursday night. They have a great singer-songwriter showcase there. And that's a place called Jeweled Universe. Thursday nights they have this amazing singer-songwriter get-together. And it's not like a bar or a restaurant or anything like that. There's no food. It's a venue. And it's a lot of fun. I'll be doing it again. And so good to get out. It is so good to get out with the guitar because that's what I really do. And it's been such a dormant career for such a long time. Here and there I've gotten out a little bit here and there. But some shows are now on the books. For spring and summer of 2022, and we hope that that'll start backing up to over the winter and so forth. But at least we're booking down into spring and summer of next year, and that's great. So it's been a while. It's been a while since I've actually got out and toured. You know, one gig after another in different cities, and that's kind of what I do. And here and there, you know, I years ago when I first started, I was like on a never-ending tour. It was just nonstop. Boom, you know, 200 shows a year, plus hosting showcases, going on the radio, doing things, playing festivals, playing venues. You know, and I was just getting started. I was just like, whoa, I didn't even have a demo kit. I didn't have a press kit or anything. All of a sudden, boom, I got a manager and things are in the paper. I'm on the radio and I'm out there playing. I'm like, how the hell did this happen? I'm a pilot. Give me, I want to grab the microphone and say, ladies and gentlemen, from the flight deck, but I realized I was on stage. I can't say that up here. if you look out your right side, you'll see Andy. If you look out your left side, you'll see more of Andy. Yeah. And anyway.
Wow.
But yeah, so Thursday night that was a great to be out. And you know.
Oh,
more,
fantastic.
More
of that. Oh, that was nice, man.
Yeah,
we'll
that's great.
You will be, we'll be doing more of it for sure, you know, and loving it, loving it.
Listen, this is the way it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I hear that a lot.
I was going to say something. I don't remember what it was. We're talking about news. Or,
about the numbers. You was giving out the number, and basically you were saying that I forgot what you was going to say.
The brain is circulating. Yeah. But anyway, there's some things we're going to get to. We're getting backed up on our show. We don't have an agenda on the show, but we like to talk about different things. And sometimes we, you know, have different segments of the show that we revisit and bring back from time to time. We try to, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
we don't always...
what?
That's a new one.
we don't always get to, you know, the things we talk about, whatever comes to our mind, and that's the beauty of the show, I think. But what we're going to do very soon is, remember this.
Oh, yeah.
Should we do that on Wednesday? On Wednesday show, we'll go behind the scenes.
Yeah,
we're going to
cool.
Do Friday, let's
it
pick
up
it up on Wednesday. So Wednesday, folks, we'll have another adventure on internet radio with Behind the Seams, and I guess you're behind the seams. That too, behind the scenes.
Yes.
You're almost behind my seams. I got news for you. Anyway,
we'll post it up on Instagram today. I mean,
No, you won't. No, you won't.
Yeah.
<They're> just...
yeah.
You
much.
Might want to try to do that, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
not everyone was aware of the incessant march of progress.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
Evidently not. Evidently not.
Yes. Very true.
Mm-hmm. hey, you know, we also, end of the month, end of October, we have.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Halloween issue. Another one. A year ago, we did. I can't believe it's coming up another year. A lot of exciting things.
Yes.
Exciting guests coming up on the show. More talk about AMC and financial gain and this game we've been talking about and guests and stories. And we're talking about all things being human and life's adventure and the human career. We're talking politics.
Yeah.
We're talking news. We're talking William Shatner going to space. We talk about it all here. And we welcome everybody aboard the Andy DeManier Show. Our next issue, our next edition is going to be this coming Wednesday, where we'll go at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 8 p.m. in UK. And if you're on the West Coast, it'll be at noon. So all that stuff being said, I guess we'll get the hell out of here and enjoy the rest of the day, everybody. And Amanda, why don't you go ahead and take us home? We'll see you Wednesday, folks.
Okay, no problem at all. So on behalf of my co-host, Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love, here in the UK, thank you to Cornell Butler, our awesome coordinator, for calling in to join us. We've always missed him when he's not here. And thank you to you, the listeners, the most important ingredient in this show.
Yeah. Oh.
We adore you. Thank you for joining us. Join us again on Wednesday. It's going to be a lot of fun with the Addams Family stuff. So yes, come and join us and have fun. We'll see you then.
Yeah, we will be back. We will be back on Wednesday.
I understand that scientists will soon make it possible.
Yes, they will. So we'll look forward to seeing everybody again.
Yes.
Enjoy, folks. We're out of here. Take care.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
That's all, folks. Yeah, all right, folks. We'll see you. I just want to ask one more question. No, we'll wait till Wednesday.
All right.
Wait till Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we'll wait till Wednesday. All right. So again, we're on at 8 o'clock your time in UK, right, Amanda? Just confirming that.
Yeah.
It is 8 o'clock. When just before we go, I just want to confirm. Daylight savings time ends when? Everybody know off the top of your head? Anybody know?
When it gets dark.
Yeah. When you go back to normal time.
It started yesterday, didn't it, Andy?
No.
I think so.
No, it didn't start yesterday.
Well, why is it dark here?
What? Huh.
No,
it can't be. Oh, man. We'll see you, folks. Take care.
Bye.